Hello and welcome to the Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. In today's show, I'll be looking at the Week 4 Fantasy Basketball schedule and rankings. And to help me do that, I'm joined by JJ Calley, who you can find on Twitter at JJ Calley Jr. JJ, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm swell. Swell.
JJ, I have to say, after our show last week, I went and checked out your Twitter banner to see who your favorite players have been throughout the years. Mm-hmm. You have a very eclectic collection of favorite players.
Yeah, a lot of polarizing players. Yeah. And
do you like the players for controversy's sake, or are you just somehow drawn to those players? Because here's the players I'm seeing: John Starks, Ricky Davis, Gilbert Arenas, Josh Smith, and Isaiah Thomas.
You forgot Kobe.
Along with Kobe. And yeah, I guess he is polarizing too, huh?
Yeah, there's just a high entertainment factor when I watch those players. Especially Ricky Davis going for triple doubles. I blame LeBron for breaking up the Ricky Davis, DeJuan Wagner, Carlos Boozer, Darius Miles, and Zdeno Chiszkowski's Cavs. So that's on LeBron. Because they traded Ricky Davis because he was such a bad influence, and I think they sent him to Boston. So
they didn't want him teaching LeBron anything.
Exactly. So that's
probably for the best.
And then when I was growing up, I think I wanted to be like Gilbert Arenas, because every time he was on SportsCenter, he had another game-winning shot. So gotcha. I just kind of got drawn to him. Yeah.
I actually really like Gilbert Arenas as well. It's too bad injuries didn't work out better. All right, before we get into the Week 4 stuff, how are you feeling about the Knicks season by now? You're a Knicks fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better than I expected, because I expected between 30 and 40 wins. And at this rate, I think they're 5-6. So we're looking at a 500 record. And I wish Kyle Quinn would get more minutes, but I can't complain, because it seems like Lance Thomas and Lou Amundsen are in the rotation again. So we got that going. And Jose Calderon getting big minutes. But you know,
So when is that going to flip? When are they going to start, when is Jose Calderon's corpse going to not be in the starting lineup anymore?
Either injury or after the trade deadline when they can't get anything for him. Those are the two spots I would look for.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jerian Grant and Langston Galloway closed today's game. So
that's exciting. That's got to be exciting for you.
Yeah, because Aflalo was on the bench, and so was Calderon. So it was good. But Lance Thomas was out there as well. Oh, man. I don't know.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the Kristaps Porzingis era? Are you on board yet? Are you still kind of disappointed that he's taking minutes from Kyle O'Quinn?
No. Kyle Quinn is much better at center. So, I think a lot of people fixate on the highlights, and it's good to do that sometimes. But I'm not going to get too high right now, because I'm still worried about injuries down the line, because he's 250, 260, 7 foot. So he had the hip injuries, before the draft and then summer league. So those could always resurface. So I'm just kind of even keel right now, not too worried about it.
You seem like a very cautious, like you've been burnt one too many times in the last 15 years by the Knicks.
How about every year for the last 15 years? Yeah.
I feel like they could win the title and you'd still be like, well, we'll see how it goes next year.
Well, no, the Mets were in the World Series this year, and that was the best thing that happened so far in New York. And then they lost it, and that was the worst thing in the world. So I'm not going to get they could win it. And if they did, then Carmelo would have a championship and people could stop. I guess they would still bring up his ambition for taking the money. But yeah, that'd be a nice one.
All right. We'll have to check in on the, with the Knicks, with you about the Knicks each week here before we get started. Waiting for you to get excited. I feel like the moment that you get excited for the Knicks season, that's when Porzingis tears his ACL or something.
Oh, geez.
All right. Hopefully that won't happen. All right. We're talking week four. Getting ready, setting your lineups, figuring out who to start, who to sit, who to stream in. And we want to start that off by looking at the schedule. So again, just to plug places we go, hashtag basketball has a nice free schedule grid. Go check them out. It's sortable, so we can click here on week four. You can see nobody has more than four games, which we kind of faced last week with the Timberwolves having five games. Four games is the maximum this week. And on the bottom side, there are three teams with two games. So the Orlando Magic, the Utah Jazz, and the Washington Wizards have two games each. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 teams with three games. So it's about split 50-50. So this week you'll definitely have to stick some – well, I guess I won't say definitely. You almost – It's almost a given that you'll have some players with three games, some players with four games. There are some weeks that get so favorable that you almost have all your guys with four games, but this does not seem to be one of those weeks. JJ, you did some nice work at looking at the back-to-backs and the things that we should know there. As far as back-to-backs and quality games, do you want to share that with us?
Absolutely. So I was looking at the teams that are playing back-to-backs this week. And the first one we're looking at is the Atlanta Hawks. They played three games total, but so far, Thabo Sefolosha has not played in consecutive games this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how they deploy him, given that Ken Bazemore suffered a sprained ankle this week. If we might get some Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm not promising it, but if they're going to give Sefolosha the day off, looking here. They play Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, I've got it up on the screen if you want to look now. You can see this is, again, still on hashtag basketball. It shows the day and then the games that they play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it just depends on how Kent Bazemore responds to the sprained ankle. And if the Hawks want to if they want to start playing Sefolosha back-to-back games. And he's actually been playing well off the bench lately. And they're I think at some point he's going to reclaim his starting job. I remember Budenholzer said during the preseason that it would be Sefolosha's job to win once he was fully healthy. So we'll see about that.
Okay. What else you got for us?
The Clippers, they play three games this week, but they don't play until Thursday.
Yeah, they play Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Right.
Kind of a backloaded schedule there.
Exactly. And so we're kind of waiting word on Chris Paul and JJ Redick. Redick is dealing with some back spasms. I think he suffered this 2 years ago. It was this or the hand injury that kind of knocked his season out. And Chris Paul, I think he had the groin injury. He came back for a game, and then he didn't play the last two, I want to say. So they're going to have additional time off to recover this week. And if not them, then we're going to get some more Austin Rivers and Paolo Prigioni and Jamal Crawford. But it's only three games this week, so it's going to be interesting.
What would you do with Chris Paul? Would you consider sitting him?
Oh, jeez.
Or because I kind of almost am like I view their schedule kind of favorably since they don't start till Thursday. That gives them a lot of time. Like I feel like he's going to play in that Golden State game. I do worry if he's going to actually play in the Portland game the next day. So you might only get two games for him.
You took the words out of my mouth. I think he wants to go up against Stephen Curry on Thursday. And if he doesn't, then it's bad, and he's probably not going to play Friday. So you're going to gamble there. I'll wait till tomorrow morning to hear if there's any more news.
I doubt there will be though with him not playing until Thursday.
You're right. I'm just trying to defer at this point.
Yeah. I think with JJ Redick, I would sit him out, but I think Chris Paul's too good. You got to play him. Even if you're only getting two games, he's probably worth playing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also going back to Atlanta, Jeff Teague didn't play today.
That's right.
So it's going to be interesting to see because they do play that back-to-back. I guess – here's one, you know, would you rather play Dennis Schroeder three games or throw out Chris Paul and hope he plays? I think some people might have to face
Chris Paul. That's a good, I don't think that's a ridiculous question because there's a chance Chris Paul plays zero games. But I think the fact that the Golden State game is first on the schedule, like I feel like he would definitely be back for the Golden State game, whether it was first, second, or third. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that it's first, I think, gives me even more confidence to put him in there, knowing there's a good chance he'll play Thursday and Sunday, and maybe like a 50-50 chance he plays Friday.
Right.
So, I would go with him. I wouldn't play Redick, though. I think maybe I'm being too bullish on Chris Paul and just like hoping, but I don't, I think there's such good value there if he does play, like it's worth taking the risk. I don't think that's true of Redick. Like he's kind of a borderline player anyway. I'm not taking the risk that waiting till Thursday for him to play.
Yeah. He rested 4 days after the first time he aggravated the groin injury, and he's had it looks like he's going to have 8 days this time in between games. So yeah, I'm going to side with you on that one. I'd probably play him this week.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, the Lakers, they have three games this week, but we don't know if Kobe Bryant is going to play Monday, which would be the second of a back-to-back, because they also played today, which is Sunday. I think I got that right. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow, but he did not play, I think, the previous two games. I could be making that up, and feel free to correct me, because a lot of times I'll pull stuff out of thin air, and kind of go with it. So, that's going to start the week, and then
so it he depends. Didn't play Tuesday and Wednesday, but then he played Friday, and he's also playing Sunday. So he's playing. Right. He played Sunday night. That game's only at halftime right now, but he played 16 minutes.
And so if he doesn't play on Monday, then he gets 4 days off before their next game. So I think he might only play two games for week four.
He did tell, and this is obviously out the window, he did tell Coach Scott that he is going to try to play all 82 games. So maybe he'll try not to sit out in the back-to-back. That's one, at least with this one though, the game that he would sit out, so back to the schedule. So he doesn't play again. You assume that he can play that Friday unless he gets hurt. But he's playing Sunday night, so he's not hurt currently. Unless he should play Friday and Sunday. So the only question is whether he plays that Monday game in Phoenix. And that is something that you should know about before the lineups lock. Like we should get word tomorrow if he's going to sit out or not before the games lock.
So you should be able to make an
informed decision. Why do you say that?
Because it's in Phoenix, so they're probably going to wait until tip to probably clear him. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you're going to have a backup plan.
We should have some good – I feel like – I guess for me it is a – like if he's only going to play two games, I'm not playing him. If he's playing three games, I probably would play him. So it is pretty critical. I think you're going to have a good chance, a good indication earlier in the day, though. Like you're right, you probably won't know for sure until tip off. But like if it comes out he missed shoot around and he's questionable, I'm probably taking him out of my lineup. If he went to shoot around and he's probable, I'm probably going to stick him in my lineup and hope that he plays Monday. Mm-hmm. I can. Don't you think we should have some sort of indication?
you would think so, but yeah. I'm not guaranteeing anything with okay. The Lakers fair. Situation. Okay, so moving on, Houston Rockets, they play four times this week, but they do have a back-to-back, and Dwight Howard, he's missed at least one game of the first three back-to-backs this week, so minimum or maximum I think you would expect for him is three games this week.
Is he good enough to put in your weekly lineup with only three games? Because I think you're right. We just assume he has three games, even though in my rankings, I think I didn't account for that, and he's probably listed at four games.
I'm looking at the opponents, uh-huh. The Celtics, who give up a ton of rebounds, the Blazers, who are down to Noah Vonleh and Mason Plumlee, and then either Memphis or New York on the doubleheader or the back-to-back. So I would say yes, just because of who he's playing this week, I would throw him out there.
Do you have any guesses of which game he'll sit out?
I would assume he would play in the Memphis game because that is a conference game and they would need that more than the home game against the Knicks. That's my guess.
And it seems like players are more likely to play in the first game than the second game a lot of times.
Right.
Like it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes they do sit out the front, but it's like, it seems like more often than not, it's they sit out the second game of the back-to-back.
Yeah, and that second game, after that, they have 3 days off. So if he rests that second back-to-back, their second game, then he'll have 4 days off before they play Memphis again. I would say the first three he would play, take 4 days off, and then play next Wednesday against Memphis.
All right.
So, yeah.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. They play three games. They just finished this, or they're about to finish a stretch of 8 games in 12 days. They have one back-to-back this week, which is at Miami and Orlando. And this is important because of Kevin Garnett starting power forward. He did miss one game of their first back-to-back last week because they played five games, but he played both games of the second back-to-back set. So I would assume that because this is going to be game 7 and 8 on this stretch, that he's going to at least sit one of them, would be my guess. And that's going to open up minutes for Nemanja Bjelica. But they only played three games this week. So I'll let you know that I already dropped him from my lineup after picking him up last week. Bjelica, that is. So I've already moved on.
Is that because he wasn't the second coming of like Draymond Green like everyone thought he was?
That's because I have no more use for him in a 12-team league. But that's my roster. And today, I don't think he even scratched 30 minutes. It was interesting because I think LaVine got into foul trouble, so they had to run Andre Miller out there a ton, and they just never needed Bielitsa's facilitating as much. So I think they left him on the bench. I don't know that Minnesota really matters that much for Garnett and Bielitsa this week for most people, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, Bielitsa played 24 minutes. He had 4 points, one rebound, and 2 of 5 shooting, and he managed to almost foul out. So
that's what did him in then. Okay.
Yeah. It's weird because like with a player like Bielitsa, so I've barely seen the guy play. I have no personal feelings towards him, but I've just got so many people like on Twitter and email me telling me how stupid I am for not calling Bielitsa like a must add and like not ranking him in my top 100 because he had one good game and people got really, really excited, that now I'm in this weird position where I'm rooting for him to do poorly to like, I guess, validate my opinion. And so like every game he does bad, I get really excited and like, see, Bielitsa, you're not as good as everyone thinks you are.
Oh man, that is
it's a weird when you rank all 400 players or 450 players, the way that you watch games gets kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, he's guaranteed probably 28 minutes a night if he doesn't get into foul trouble.
It just doesn't matter. He doesn't do anything in those minutes that he got. Like the last five games, he's averaged 28 minutes. He's averaging 9 points, 4.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. He's shooting 6 times in that amount of time. He's averaging he's got 1 block and 2 steals in those 5 games total. He's shooting 62% from the line. I just don't care that much.
I tried to play devil's advocate. I don't think it worked out. I'll say I moved on from him.
Yeah.
Because there are other players that are
have fantasy value.
Well, everyone has fantasy value, Mark. Ugh. There's just not enough of it to go around.
All right, let's move on. New Orleans.
Okay.
You wanted to talk about their schedule this week.
Sure. The Pelicans, they play four times. And like the rest of the teams we've highlighted, they have a back-to-back set. Jrue Holiday, he has sat one game of every back-to-back set this week. And that's going to open up minutes for Ish Smith. And he's actually playing more minutes per game than Drew Holiday, I believe. I'm gonna pull that one out of thin air again and hope it's true. He's averaging 7.6 assists per game this week, and that's sixth most in the NBA. And I don't think that Norris Cole is coming back this week because I haven't heard anything. Yeah. But he's been out close to 3 weeks now with a high ankle sprain. Those are, you know, pretty tough to return from. So in the league that you and I are in, I picked up Ish Smith. It's a 14-team, 12 roster spot salary cap league, so it was kind of different. But he's going to run the offense, and there are times where Drew Holiday is not. He's kind of capped at 25 minutes a game anyway, so Smith is going to get the other 23 minutes when they play together three times this week, and then there's one game where him and Tony Douglas, they're going to split the minutes. So Ish Smith is someone I guess we'll talk about now or later, but Holiday is going to play three games, and he's not get. I don't think he's getting enough minutes that he's a must start.
So. Right. No, I would agree with that. I'm looking at where Ish Smith. No, he's sort of high in the rankings this week. There he is. We've got him ranked number 70th.
Okay, when you say we, you can exclude. I'm going to duck out of that.
No, one. I'm sorry.
I will defer to you again.
Yeah. I meant the site in general.
Okay.
You're right. These are my rankings. You're not taking any responsibility for having Ish Smith that high.
No, you have him right behind Giannis and Markieff, who's actually injured and may or may not play this week. We'll see.
Right. All right, and looks like there's one other team you wanted to talk to us about as far as schedule quirks go.
Sure, Spurs. They play four times this week. Looking at the schedule, that would be if their back-to-back is Friday, Saturday. And Tim Duncan, vitamin D, has played 65 straight games dating back to last year. I don't know if Pop would rest him against the Pelicans or the Grizzlies. I think the Pelicans would be the place to go since they've been so bad this year. But I'm not sure. So that's just something to think about when you're setting your lineup.
I feel like you could win a lot of bets if you bet people how many consecutive games Tim Duncan has played in. I'll bet not very many people would pick the over if you set it at 50.
Yeah, there's definitely a stigma when it comes to the Spurs. I think, what was it, Ginobili sat out for, I don't know if it was rest or injury, a couple days ago. So he was already, but you know, I think with the Spurs, it's always, when I look at the games played, it's always Boris Diaw and Danny Green who are at the top no matter what. They hardly ever get those days off. But yeah, Tim Duncan, he's been playing 26, 27 minutes a night and been playing all those games. So we'll see how Popovich wants to start out early in the season.
He really is not like a human person. I can't believe how old he is and he's played. I believe that your stat is true, but I can barely believe that's true, that he's played 65 straight games. And you look at Kobe Bryant, who can't even like stay on the court at roughly the same age.
Oh, I guess because Kobe's played, 55,000 minutes, something like that so far? Well, playoffs and regular season.
Yeah. So
there's a bit of a...
Well, Duncan's got to be fairly high in that category too, right?
Yeah, less so, but yes. Yeah.
I guess because they've managed his minutes a little better.
Yeah, and Kobe missed the majority of the last two seasons, so yeah.
Duncan has played 46,000 minutes. And I can't tell if Basketball Reference is including the playoffs or not.
Probably not. You can scroll down to the bottom, I think, and see what his playoff minutes are.
Yeah, he's got 9,000 playoff minutes. So he's got 55,000 minutes.
Who knew? Because I didn't.
There's another bet for you. Right before your friend stops being friends with you, you can win some money off of him, off Tim Duncan bets.
Yeah.
All right, and do you want to go over some quality games information for us too?
Yeah, why not? So we talk about quality games, and I think I did a poor job of explaining it last week, but it's a night where there's not a lot of games going on, so you can get everyone into your active lineup. And this is mostly for daily moves leagues, right? Mm-hmm. So you can sort of stream through players depending on what nights they play. And so I was just looking at the schedule, and I talked about last week how the Pistons play Saturday, Sunday, and you might be able to get one of their bench players into your lineup kind of a swap 2-for-1 deal where you might get two games from a like Anthony Tolliver or Stanley Johnson, depending on the size of your league. But this week, no one plays a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday, and no one plays a back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday. So there's limited opportunity to just, you know, use someone at the beginning of the week and then flip them for someone who gets like the Clippers who play a majority of the games at the end of the week. And in terms of, you know, the amount of games per day this week, on Wednesday and Friday, you're going to have at least 10 games. So it's going to be difficult to fit everyone into your lineup. So if you're adding someone this week, you want to make sure that they have enough games and that if you add them, that you can stick them into your lineup, because there's going to be a lot of times, or there's going to be two times this week where the guy you pick up off of waivers might not sneak in. Every other night, so five of the nights this week, we're going to have seven games or less. And that's going to be a time where you're going to be able to shuffle people around, probably stream a little bit. So there's that. And then in terms of quality games, kind of bringing it back, I'm looking here, the Cavaliers, the Warriors, the Heat, and the Bucks are the only teams that play three quality games this week, which is nights with seven games or fewer. But only, or of those four teams, the Warriors are the ones who play four games this week. So just something to look at when you're going out and trying to find someone to add to your lineup or add to your team for. And you don't even have to commit to them for the whole week. You can just kind of pick and choose because right now nothing's static. There's going to be injuries. People are going to come back from injuries. So it's
So would you say the Warriors have the best schedule this week to try to take advantage of? Like, is that what I should glean from the information you just shared with us?
I think I don't want to commit to say best. I think in terms of maximizing games, yes. So say you pick up Harrison Barnes, there's a good chance he'll play every game for you this week, which is four times. But in terms of quality of opponent, matchup, I don't know if they would have the best matchups this week.
So Barnes is ranked in my rankings. I've got him 61. I've got Bogut at 65. I've got Iguodala at 76. Yeah, there are a lot of Warriors sneaking up higher, and it sounds like, based on what you're saying, those are definitely guys to think about targeting. I've even got Festus Ezeliya at 152. So not a standard league guy, but maybe yeah, playing in a 16-team league or something, a guy right to target for this week.
Yeah, that's all I got. So I'll throw it back to you, Mark. See what else you want to talk about this week.
All right, yeah, there are a couple other things, and I want to just show everybody on the website. So if you go to the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com, there are week four rankings up. So I've ranked every player from 1 to 400. So I guess I didn't post the other 50 players or so, but everybody else is here. Tried to take into account their schedule, injury news that we know about, and also included on their ESPN ownership percentages, just to help people know whether they try to pick up somebody or, like if somebody's more likely to be owned in their league or not. And I think what would be helpful is I've tried to cut these rankings a couple of different ways to look at some interesting players, maybe players that are owned in a low number of leagues that are ranked highly, or players that are ranked poorly but are owned in a lot of leagues, so people can know who to stream or drop. Before we get there, though, JJ, I have a little note to read from our friends over at No Halftime. You ready for that?
I've been ready since yesterday. Give it to me.
I do have a question. And I'm wondering if you've ever looked at your starting lineup in your weekly leagues and wondered if you could and wished that you could play against just one of your opponent's players rather than the whole lineup.
Yes. Why not? Let's go with yes. I think that's the right answer here.
Well, have you ever tried that and it hasn't worked? Well, that's because those other fantasy sports services don't allow you to. But now with an all new No Halftime app, you can do that. No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you could pit your Carmelo Anthony against LeBron James. Or you could pit your Jose Calderon against really anybody. But
Raymond Felton.
Ray Felton.
Yes.
That would be exciting. Which side of that one would you take?
I would wait to see if the Mavericks are benching their starters. Ooh. And I would make my decision based on that.
That's actually the Mavericks players would be interesting for this app, like, because there's a lot of their terrible players that are getting minutes just because they're resting their starters so often that you could really take advantage of this. We might have to discuss that one offline and set up a no halftime challenge. The good thing is, if we do that, JJ, the challenges take just seconds to set up, and accepting challenges are even easier. So I could set up a challenge in a couple of seconds, and you could accept it in like 1 second. And we can make it public or private, and we can do it for any sport. You can do it for NFL, NBA, hockey, college football, college basketball. I think I even saw some soccer on there today when I was looking through. So join now and get started. And as a special bonus for our listeners, if you enter the code BBALL, that's B-B-A-L-L, you'll get a bonus $25 just for signing up. So go check it out. I think right now it's only on iTunes, or it's only for iPhone or iPad. So use your Apple device, go to the App Store, download the app, and use the promo code, and you can get started right away. That's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
Mark, I gotta commend you. You're getting better at this read. I like it. It's much more of a conversation back and forth. I'm in.
I'm serious about that Ray Felton Jose Calderon matchup. We're gonna have to get that one.
I gotta find a favorable matchup where Calderon is playing like a. I don't know. I think the Thunder give up a lot of three-pointers. I'll have to see when they're playing them on the schedule.
We'll think of something. Do you have an Apple device you can use No Halftime on?
I do.
All right. We'll lock one of these in this week, and we'll talk about it next week on the show.
It's a Nano. Oh,
perfect. Does it have a screen?
No.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
All right.
I support Nano.
I didn't know you wanted to back out so fast, but that's the way you want to play it.
That's okay. If you want to try to sign up with no screen, I will take your money. That's no problem.
All right.
I want to look at guys that have two games this week. Those are always guys that are kind of red flags, and you almost always want to sub those players out. The rankings, this looks a lot like last week because the Wizards, again, have only two games this week. That is two straight weeks that the Wizards have had only two games. I'll take you back to the schedule. You can see Wizards have two games, but then for three straight weeks, they have four games. So if you're frustrated because you own Gortat and you've had to sit him for a couple of weeks, just know that the next 3 weeks, he's going to have four games each of those weeks. So things will look better. I've still got John Wall in my top 100, but just barely. He's at number 98. I think you've got to play him. The next guy on my list, he's at 129, is Rudy Gobert. We saw him return from an injury tonight on one Sunday night with a quite a good game. I have to look up his stat line to see exactly what he did, but I know he looked
like it was 11 and 11.
Yeah. Didn't he have some blocks and steals in there too?
Three blocks, two steals, three assists. Nice.
Yeah.
So, and he played 38 minutes, so you know he's back.
Yeah, he seems back. Favors has been playing very well. So I probably would play both Gobert and Favors and be on the borderline with Vukovic and Hayward and not play Bradley Beal or anybody else. Do you have a different read on those players?
I'm looking at the schedule here. I like Favors and Gobert because of the matchup. They have Dallas on Friday, Wednesday at Toronto. Dallas, they're like the Celtics, they're like the Pacers. They give up a lot of rebounds. So, and they're starting Nowitzki and Pachulia. So there's going to be a lot of stats to have in that game. Toronto, Valanciunas has improved his defense. They still got Luis Scola out there. I would be fine starting Favors and Gobert this week. We're talking about the Wizards. I think Wall is the only guy you should be worried about. And then yeah. The Magic. Who are they playing? I'm looking here.
I think about Oladipo, but because he has that concussion issue right now and you don't know when he's coming back for sure, I'm probably not playing Oladipo. I think I only projected him for one game. There he is.
Yeah, because if he misses the first game, then they don't play again until Saturday. So if he misses the Wednesday game, he'll get another 5 days of rest, and they can work him back in. So once he starts practicing, then you'll know he's going to play. But I guess yeah. They might clear him beforehand. So I think it'd be better if they just give him the 5 days off and let him return Saturday. But that's just my opinion.
Is there anybody else lower on this list that you play, like Fournier with Oladipo out maybe?
I'd consider it because he's like top five in minutes per game. So you figure he gets, 70 minutes? And you look at maybe like a three-game guy who's going to get the same amount of minutes, like someone lower on the list. Then I would try to do the math there because I feel like Fournier is a lock for those 35 to 40 minutes a night. So that's why I would consider
it. He might get 75 minutes the way that they've been playing him lately.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Skiles. And I will say, I think now is probably a good time to trade for Bradley Beal just because of the injury uncertainty and because the Wizards have gone so long without, like, they're in a stretch where they're playing four games in about, like, 15 or 16 days. So whoever owns Bradley Beal has, like, no updates on what's going on. So if you want to take advantage, I think now would be the time to do so because, again, you know, two back-to-back weeks with two games. And they haven't seen him out there yet. So it'll be...
Would you trade Fournier for Bradley Beal if you had Fournier? Like kind of a sell high, buy low sort of thing?
See, I'm a big fan of Fournier. I think I would if someone would be willing to do that.
What about Otto Porter? Would you trade him for Bradley Beal? I guess that's probably pretty obvious, huh? If you're trading Fournier for him.
Yeah, I don't feel like I need to answer that, Mark. No offense, but yeah.
I'm just looking at players close to here and looking at players close to Bill in the rankings here. I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not that close. There's like a 65 player gap. So.
But also, you know what I'm concerned about? I think Beal's like 35 minutes a night somewhere or 34, mm-hmm. something like that. Just with the stress reactions, if any of that crops up again. I know that's not what he's dealing with now. I think it's the shoulder. But there is the injury history. So if they keep running him out there and then he tweaks an ankle or something and then they sit him out and then he gets the stress reaction, then you're going to miss. So I guess it's a calculated risk if you want to gamble on him now while he's out and the Wizards aren't playing a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. Would you trade Marcus Smart for Bradley Beal?
Ooh.
You told me to make it harder.
They're, I don't know, they're different players, and I think my gut reaction was yes, I would accept Beal for Smart, because they're equally, they've been injured about the same proportionally, mm-hmm. But I know Smart's going to get 30 minutes regardless, and they kind of want him to run the offense there in Boston, which he's been doing, but not to the extent where he's getting five assists a night. And also I'll get a boost in free throw percentage if I get Beal. So sure.
Speaking of Marcus Smart, he is on our pickup list this week. He has four games. He's ranked 62nd in the week or in my week four ranks. And he's only owned in 34% of ESPN leagues. So, if you're looking for somebody to target on your waiver wire, he'd be a good one this week. Would you consider him probably like the top pickup this week of the players I have on this list?
No.
I know Jay Crowder's a little higher, TJ McConnell's a little higher. Are you going with one of them or somebody else?
I would aim for Robert Covington or Darren Collison. The guys that are lower on your list. Just for long term. I'm not thinking about this week. I'm thinking about like weeks. Okay. Like I'm thinking about the rest of the season. So I would aim for one of those two. And then
We only have Covington projected for three games, even though the Sixers have four. Sorry, I should say I only have him projected for three games instead of four. But and that's one reason he was so far down the rankings. If he had four games, he would be right at the very top, probably.
I believe he's been cleared for Monday's game.
Okay.
Could be wrong there, though.
You had an interesting note about Jay Crowder, who is the top player on the list, the only player in the top 50 on my rankings who are he's only owned in 29% of ESPN leagues. So I think he's actually a very good target as far as who to pick up.
Yeah. So I went back and I needed to know how he was getting these steals because he was leading the league, and the NBA.com stats page for any player, you can click on whatever stat you want. You can watch, you know, free throw attempts. You can watch blocks or turn. I think fouls is another one. So I went back and watched them, and I realized that they had played 6 home games and 2 road games, and they played another road game tonight. And they were kind of questionable steal call, like the scorekeeper was kind of giving him, you know, 1 or 2 that probably shouldn't have been counted. So I looked at the numbers. He's averaging 3.7 steals at home and 2.0 steals on the road, and that was after not recording any steals today. The Celtics, they played 2 home games and 2 road games this week. So this is just, you know, something to keep in mind. You know, the home scorekeepers, they like to, you know, inflate those numbers for their players. And there's like the last time someone averaged 3.5 steals or over 3 steals for a season was Alvin Robertson in 1990. So the Celtics play fast enough, and Crowder, he's kind of immune from the even Stevens rotation. So he's getting like 30 plus minutes a night regardless.
And he hits 3 pointers. Here's the thing. No.
Let me, can I correct you on that?
Yes.
It's not that he hits them. It's that he takes them and they sometimes go in. I think that's how I would classify it.
For fantasy purposes, it's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, your point about the steals maybe not being totally legitimate. It's not like he's changing teams. So, as long as the scorekeeper is going to mark it a steal, I'll count it. Here's the thing, though, with Crowder, like, he's only owned in 29% of ESPN leagues. Like, if somebody was out of nowhere was leading the league in points, which is, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, just steals and points are just as valuable as each other. If somebody was CJ McCollum or like somebody else was leading the league in points out of nowhere, that player would be owned in 100% of ESPN leagues. So just because people don't realize that steals matter as much as points and the other categories, that doesn't mean you can't, like, you can go pick up Jay Crowder right now and totally change how your team does in one category. That's huge.
I will say that he's owned in 65% of Yahoo leagues. So it's a little bit different on that mark, on that site.
Yahoo folks seem to be a little wiser. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think this goes back to what we talked about last week. I think Yahoo if you sign up for a standard league, it's 12 teams, and then ESPN, it's 10 teams. So there's a disparity of, I think, 26 players in the pool.
And he's probably in that pool.
Going back again, the 3-point thing, he's attempted 201 with the Celtics so far. This goes back to last year. Do you know how many he's made?
I would guess he's at least probably a low 30s shooter. I might be wrong on that, but I would guess he's low 30s. So he's attempted 200. I would say he's made 65.
That's actually pretty good, or close, at 56.
Oh, he's a little under.
Yeah, 28% 3-point shooter as a Celtic. So they let him shoot it, kind of like with Sullinger. They let him shoot. Yeah, you could say that. But
he's not a great 3-point shooter either, but the volume that they get in the 3-pointers made category is just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see who. Okay, so TJ McConnell, right?
Yes.
He's still the starting point guard. He didn't attempt a free throw last week. Is he going to do it this week, Mark?
This is our favorite game. I check the box score every night that the Sixers play to see if he's taking a free throw or not. I have no idea. I would guess he does not.
Uh,
I'm not going to bet on it until I see it happen. So I guess some one of these weeks I'm going to be wrong. But
yeah, and I don't even think he's going to take a technical foul free throw because they have either Stauskas or Cannon out there with him. So
yeah,
what's
your guess? I wish no halftime would let us bet on that.
Well, there's also Evan Fournier hasn't blocked a shot yet this year. And he's played like the third most total minutes. And he's
I wish we could bet like you take TJ McConnell three free throws and I take Evan Fournier blocks.
Yeah,
we just go until one of them happens.
I thought McConnell would have taken one last week, but he's so shot averse. Like even if it's an open shot, he's sometimes not going to shoot it. He'll dribble around and.
Do you think he shoots free throws underhand, and that's why he doesn't want to go to the line?
I think he shoots him overhead, so his back to the basket. I think that's what he goes with.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still available in a lot of ESPN leagues. If you need assists, I think that's your go-to guy. He's going to get you a lot of assists.
I'm questioning now how he's going to get so many assists when they take Nick Stauskas out of the lineup. That's my only question.
Why would you be?
I was being facetious. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. I'm wondering why you think they're going to take Stauskas out of the lineup. I was trying to set you up there.
Oh, well, no, they did it at halftime in the last game, but I don't know if it's going to stick. So
just because he's been shooting so poorly, I didn't realize they'd taken him out.
Yeah, they started Cannon over him and against the Spurs. And I think they play him like 4 minutes in the second half.
Stauskas played 4 minutes in the second half?
Don't quote me.
But that's who you're talking. You're not referring to Cannon. You're referring to right. Stauskas.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's correct. No, okay. Yeah.
All right. Is there anybody else on this list of pickup guys that you want to – I mean, go check out the list on the website, but is there anybody else you want to talk about before we move on to people to bench or drop?
Do we want to get into Will Barton? I feel like tell us about.
What do you want to talk about? I've got him ranked 84th, which probably seems pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
He's got four games. My minutes projection for him right now is 24 minutes per game. So are you feeling like that is too high or the stats aren't going to be there?
I'm not sure if he's going to keep up his scoring prowess is the question. Because
but just so you know, the rankings are predominantly based on not the minutes. Minutes are predominantly based on this year. The stats are predominantly based on last year and the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not being like buoyed up in the rankings just by like having a few good games this season.
Right. I'm looking at it. He scored 45 points over the last two games. But like even at the beginning of the season, he was scoring a lot of his points in garbage time. And I feel like that's a trend that's still continuing. And in the last game, he started the second half because they took out Kenneth Faried because I think Faried had some back issues. I think Barton scored 15 of his 19 points in the second half, and the Nuggets were down 60-28 at halftime. So he goes out there and he looks for his, and that's not a bad thing, but you have to bank on that every single week or every single game.
All right. So here's his stats in November. He's played what, 8 games. He's averaged 27 minutes. He's shooting 50% from field goal percentage is 50%, shooting 44% from the 3-point line, shooting 90% from the free throw line. He's averaging 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a half of a block and 1.3 steals. So he doesn't even have to keep up that level of production. I think to rank inside the top 100, which is basically where I've got him. I do think he can be useful. The percentages I think are what's not real there. So, but you know, in a 4-game week, I still think he could get you 45 points and maybe 15-20 rebounds and 5 or 6 steals and, 5 or 6 3-pointers.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. They have the Suns again later this week, who blew them out. They have the Warriors at the end of the week, and that could be a blowout. And they have the Spurs in the middle of the week, which could be another blowout. And then they have the Pelicans at the beginning of the week, who have been bad. So the Nuggets could be on the other end of the blowout. Mm-hmm. So I was reluctant, but it looks like there's going to be opportunity for him to go out and do his thing. So I think that's a safe bet this week. But I hate saying that because he's Will Barton. Like, because the only good game I've ever seen him play was in the playoffs with the Blazers a couple years ago.
Well, that's not a bad place to have your only good game.
Yeah, it was against the Spurs, and he led them to a win. But I don't think the Spurs cared because it was like game three or game four. And they were up 3-0 anyway. So I think they just kind of packed it in.
Right.
But I'm telling you, like, he's kind of like the king of garbage time at this point. He's scoring a lot of his points when his team's behind. But you know what? He's shooting it pretty well from the field. And I think your concern is, and mine is, you know, can he keep that up? So
we'll see. Yeah, I don't suspect so. But the garbage time, production counts.
Yep.
I think your point is it predictable? Is it something we can count on? And I think that's a good point.
Right, and go on.
No, go ahead.
No, let's
go on. I'm excited to talk about these guys that are owned in a lot of ESPN leagues who are ranked outside of my top 150 this week. Because I want to know if I should drop any of them. Just to read off some of the names here. So Aaron Aflalo was ranked 159th this week, even though the Knicks have three games, and he's owned in 60% of ESPN leagues still. Bradley Beal is on there. I think you'd probably want to drop him, or I mean bench him, but not drop him. But these other guys on the list, I'm not seeing anybody that I necessarily think that people need to keep other than maybe Fournier. So J.R. Smith, I think, probably can be dropped. Julius Randle can be dropped. Tobias Harris can be dropped, in my opinion. D'Angelo Russell can be dropped. Jabari Parker can be dropped. Tristan Thompson, who's still owned in 70% of ESPN leagues. I don't know if people think like you get extra points in fantasy if your player makes $80 million, but you don't. So I think you can drop Tristan Thompson. Now we're getting to some of the two-game guys. I'm going to leave those guys alone. Is there any of those guys that I just read off that you would disagree with should be dropped?
Yeah, I wouldn't look to drop Tobias Harris just yet.
Okay. Give me the defense of Tobias Harris.
I think – I haven't looked at the stats, but I think he's somewhat – like his rebounding is way up this year. I think he's still looking for his shot. That's the problem. So his points are a little down.
Just to be clear, I'm not saying you have to drop these guys or you should drop these guys. I'm just saying they can be dropped, but – that's not to go against your recommendation here. Right.
All right. I think if I probably spent like a sixth or seventh round draft pick on this, on the guy who's, I think he led this Magic in scoring last year, might've been top two. I get the concern with Scott Skiles as the coach, but I wouldn't like, even if he was dropped, I would pick him up in any league, any size league. I guess maybe outside of 18 league, I wouldn't worry about it as much. But I wouldn't look to drop him. I actually picked up J.R. Smith. I did it in my 12-team league. I wanted to get on board before he actually, finally figured it out. And I think he played 51 minutes the other night, which you can look at it as, well, he won't accumulate the same amount of stats, but he played 51 minutes. And that means the coach has enough he believes him in enough that he's going to get minutes over Richard Jefferson and Matthew Dellavedova. So I'm going to hold, because it's a roto league, so I can hold on to him until he figures it out. But I understand not wanting to pick him up. This is my issue
with Tobias Harris. In November, he's averaging almost 31 minutes per game, so it's not a minutes issue. But he's only averaging 12 points a game on 44% shooting, which isn't terrible, but also not great. The rebounds, as you mentioned, are pretty strong. He's averaging almost – just over 8.5 rebounds a game, almost 9 rebounds a game. The steals, he's under a steal, under a block per game, way under a block per game. He's not doing a lot from the three-point line. He's averaging 1 3-pointer per game. There's just not a lot there that I like. I would have no hesitation to drop him this week where he's, you know, still got just the two games, but I can understand wanting to pick him up too. So I don't necessarily totally disagree with you, but if he's on my team, I don't have a problem dropping him.
Would you add Jay Crowder for Tobias Harris?
Yes. No hesitation. I would no halftime challenge you on that one easily.
I think the problem with Harris is there's so much influx in Orlando and there's no continuity that he just hasn't found his role yet. And the one lock is Fournier, and behind him is Vucevic with the minutes. Even I guess Oladipo would come in third in terms of like confidence rankings for me, like for what's going on. And then outside of that, Harris, I would expect him to at some point figure it out, but it's just such a dynamic situation.
I'm pretty confident that he's never going to play Hezonja enough minutes.
As you should be.
Bums me out, but I don't think that's going to happen. If we're talking about confidence rankings. Oh man, too bad. All right, that's all I've got for tonight, JJ. Anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
I'm just going to glance at these box scores and nothing stands out.
All right.
Kobe leads the Lakers in minutes so far. So he might triple double tonight and then might not play tomorrow night. We'll see.
Exciting times in Lakerland. Do you want to plug anything? Like, do you want to plug any articles you've been writing or anything people should check out on RotoWire?
You can check me out on chatroulette.com every weekend. That's my go-to.
I logged on this weekend. I didn't find you anywhere.
I was on for a good 5 hours. I'm sorry if you missed me.
What's your screen name on Chat Roulette?
No screen names. No.
Okay. I might not have really logged on. I'm sorry.
If you want to go to RotoWire, the blog, check out the blog, and I write recaps. And I think the last one was like 3,500 words. So if you have you get an afternoon off, you want to read, I'm your guy. And that's about it. Yeah.
All right. And once again, this is Mark Roberts. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And thanks again to No Halftime for sponsoring our show. We'll be back tomorrow looking at some box scores and some fantasy news with the man behind watching the boxes. Until then, hope you have a good time. Bye. Ooh.